Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. We've obviously been keeping our eyes on the story in Johannesburg and lots of moving parts, as I said. And one of the things that has been coming back up again is this issue of the surcharge in the city of Johannesburg. City Power's implementation of the surcharge has started this month. And yeah, lots of you have been unhappy about it. We've had officials come and explain it. And we thought we were done with the story until we got Action SA coming in and it became quite political. On the line with us is Bonolo Ramogele, who is a City Power board chair, just to tell us their position, if politics has actually affected what's happening in City Power. Good evening and welcome, Mr. Ramogele.
Evening, Aspumela, evening to the listeners at home.
We all thought,
I hope I'm audible.
You are. You're sounding wonderful. Thank you. We all thought, you know, this had come up. People were unhappy, but you had settled the matter. Until earlier on this week, it got quite political. What's your position as City Power?
Look, as an entity, all we're responsible for is to ensure that, you know, we provide a reliable service to residents of Johannesburg. We have a stable network. And constantly provide service so that when residents switch on their lights, the lights are there. Anything other than that, you know, we can't really get involved. And when you look at how we got to this 200 rand availability charge, it's not a surcharge, it's an availability charge, meaning that if you switch on the electricity, you expect that, you know, the lights are going to work. And for that to happen, we need to ensure that, you know, the network is maintained, it's also upgraded, and new infrastructure is built. And how we actually recover that and make sure that that happens is that we must have an availability charge. It's a globally accepted norm as to how you actually charge for electricity. And it's not just ourselves who do this type of work as well, I mean, this type of tariff. Even when you buy airtime for your phone, there is a component that would be set aside to ensure that you maintain the network so that when you want to make a phone call, you are able to do so.
Okay, then distinguish for the listeners the difference between a surcharge and an availability charge.
So a surcharge can be for a particular, for example, you might say that you are going to implement a particular surcharge to cover, for example, new metering, for argument's sake. But an availability charge is literally to say, if you switch on your electricity, you must be able to use it. That means that even if you are to put on solar on your roof and you're completely off-grid, you are still going to get a bill from your local utility, whether in Johannesburg or you're in New York or you're in Los Angeles, you're in Cape Town. You are still going to get that availability charge, meaning that the network has got to be maintained and be reliable so that when you want to utilize it, you can utilize it. And if you were to look at how we got to where we got here, we are actually saying that 100,000 of our customers are already paying an availability charge. That would be your postpaid customers, your large power users, and your business users. And then we're saying then there is a 250,000 customers that are not paying, that are on a different tariff, which is prepaid. And if you were to look at the contribution to revenue, the contribution to revenue of City Power is less than 7%. That would be prepaid. Those are the customers who are currently not paying the surcharge. And those, I mean, this availability charge, and those who are paying actually make up more than 90%. Of the revenue. So we are trying to bring about parity, because currently, as Pumilo, if you and I are neighbors and you are a prepaid customer and I'm a postpaid customer, we're getting exactly the same service from exactly the same company. It costs the same to produce that service, but you would pay less because you are on prepaid, and then I would pay more because I'm on postpaid, but we're exactly the same. So we're trying to bring about parity, and we're not the only metro that has been charging this availability charge. Cape Town is currently charging it at 2.45 rand. You've got Rustenburg, which is almost at 1,000 rand. You've got Ekurhuleni as well. You've got Tshwane and others. So it's not just ourselves. I think we've just become a poster child of this particular availability charges, if we are the only utility that is doing it. And like I said, already the customers that are contributing about 90% of our revenue have been paying this for years. Now we're just trying to bring about parity with the prepaid customers.
It's fair, yes, but it's not fair for those who I have accepted a model that you have been operating under for as long as you have. So the model was always yours in the first place. So you come and you introduce what you are saying is a fair model of introducing parity. But who asked that the model be different in the first place? We had no say in all of this. So it's not fair to make it seem like the customer is being unfair. The customer is saying, well, actually, we had nothing to say about all of this. Your modeling was your modeling. We were not consulted about your modeling. You now introduce a new model. You always want us to just accept what you are telling us. You guys had the model in the first place. We never asked for this model.
No. So The prepaid tariff has always been almost a preserve of customers that, for lack of a better word, were from low-income households. And it has always been a preserve of those customers. And then what has been happening progressively over the years is that you had more customers migrating from postpaid to prepaid. And rightfully so, because you want to know how much you are buying electricity and what you are actually putting into your, what you're getting in terms of tokens. People wanted to have reliability of their billing. And it's not something that we just unilaterally did. There have been public participation exercises that were done with councillors, reaching out to communities through various communication channels. So that we can be able to get to a figure or a proposal that would be acceptable by residents. NERSA would never accept, a tariff proposal that was not thoroughly consulted amongst people. That is not to say that we are tone deaf to the cries of residents. And I think that's where the political angle comes in, that, politicians then would sit around the table and say, we've heard the cries of the people, what is to be done? And that is something that then we leave to the political space.
I must say, and this is not directed at you, but where you get everybody confused is communication. And the messaging, and hence I'm saying it's not you, because this has been the problem with City Power. The messaging, and not just the City Power entity, the city itself. When prepaid meters were introduced, there was an entire campaign to lobby people to move away from postpaid to prepaid for the very reasons that you actually articulated earlier on. And cities mobilized people to encourage them. In fact, in some areas, they forced residents to move. You know that. And so the idea that those who then complied, were indigent families, at no point was the discussion about indigent families and you being a customer that is supposed to be an indigent family is the one that's targeted. That discussion never came into the fore. The only thing that was the city said was reliability, so that you can monitor your own metering, you can monitor your usage, and also, of course, because there are all sorts of other problems that are happening with postpaid customers, and we accept that. So now we're hearing this was reserved for indigent families. We didn't know that. Most of us moved. So why is it that you went into suburbs when you went into suburbs with houses that are millions of rands of worth if this was reserved for indigent families?
No, I didn't say it was reserved. It was maybe it's language. I said historically it was a preserve of lower income households. Those households would prefer to be on prepaid. And also, by the way, we are still on the drive to put as many meters, smart meters on the ground as possible, are going to be continuing with that program because it allows us to be able, again, to have reliability of billing and so forth, and collections, which is important as well for our own sustainability. But I think, Pimelo, we need to be fair as well to say that there is different, when you look at the tariff, the cost of generation, meaning that the cost of, you know, burning the coal, you know, turning the turbines that Eskom would incur, and then they then pass on that cost on to ourselves. But you still have a cost of ensuring that the wires that reach your household, you know, the transformers are there, you know, the mini substations are there, the substations are there, and they are working appropriately. And that is where this availability charge, you know, came in.
Yes.
And I think if you were to look at it even globally, if you look into Europe, where they use a lot of natural gas to power up their houses, you'll find that there is a cost of the buying of the gas, which is pegged to the gas price, and then there's a fixed charge, which is the availability charge. So this is not something that is unique to City Power. You know, like I said, it's just that maybe we're very transparent about it. And even though we may say our communication maybe may not have been as great, but it's something that we're very open about, you know, to show residents that, you know, this is how your billing, you know, has come about. And then we caught, you know, the tailwind of that.
Let me clarify that. When I say your communication, I don't actually mean in recent times. I don't mean with this particular issue, because you have been quite transparent. I'm speaking historically about the times when, you know, there was introduction of meters, prepaid meters and so on. I'm not necessarily saying that at this point you've been poor with your communication. That's not what I'm saying. But I also want to say that you are now talking to me, and you are probably taking the flag for many other entities. NERSA knows. Many experts have spoken about this. We all know that South Africa for a long time has been paying electricity far low, as you're saying, lower than other countries and much lower than we should be paying when you look at some of the costs that you have. We all know that. The difference and the problem here comes in where whether NERSA says we've done enough consultation, public participation and so on, the reality is that a lot of South Africans cannot afford it. And it's maybe not for you to call, but people are complaining because as a reality, even as we understand the technicalities of what you're explaining to us, people cannot afford it. And that's where, unfortunately, you probably have to address the political as well as your operational things, because people are sitting here saying, well, so what are we going to do now? And here you are the one that has to answer to that.
No, you're correct. I mean, cost of living in South Africa has skyrocketed, you know, over the past, I'd say, the past 5 to 8 years or so. Fuel has gone up, and it's got a knock-on effect on a lot of things. You know, increases, you know, in wages, I don't think has kept up with inflation at best. It has not. So, we are, like I said, we're not tone deaf to the, you know, to the outcry that has come out, you know, after we implemented it. And that's when then we then take it back to the political space and then say to the leadership of the city, the political leadership of the city, as to how do we then find a balance between ensuring that we've got a network that is fit for purpose and also balancing, you know, the real, you know, impact on the ground from people in terms of affordability. Because as we stand now, Temelo, actually there is almost a 50-year backlog in terms of,
pricing,
you know,
your
maintenance
pricing
and infrastructure of our infrastructure. We effectively have a 50 billion rand backlog. And
yeah,
when I say 50 years, it's informed by saying that if we are spending a billion rand currently on our capital expenditure, it's going to take us roughly about 50 years to be able to catch up to a network that is fit for purpose. Currently, the inner city, places like Roodepoort and so forth, they experience very intense outages. And we had one about 2 months ago where when we went to go and fix, you know, what had been damaged in the inner city, we found that some of those components were last used in the 1960s, and they are no longer available in the market because our network is incredibly old, and that's why you've got these frequent outages that ultimately lead to less quality life for our residents. But we need to balance out both.
So look. Exactly to your point, you know, there's a lot that has to happen. We've had neglect for a long time. Infrastructure needs to be upgraded. But we were hearing the president announce some interesting things. My sense here, and of course you can't confirm this over here, but my sense is that you probably need to have a bigger conversation with other stakeholders about where we are at, what your responsibilities are, what we demand and expect of you to deliver electricity. Are some conversations at least happening at executive level to explain exactly your, you know, your dilemma at the moment, that here we are saying to you and we ask you, why do you want us to pay? You need the money because you need to keep up with infrastructure. Politically, people come out and telling us it's not going to happen, making your life even more difficult. Are you having some conversations with other stakeholders at executive level to try and find some sort of a resolution to this?
Yes, there are engagements. And if you would have seen that, the president has been quite aggressive in his articulations that we need to also look at the private sector in terms of how do we get more infrastructure investment going, because unfortunately the government and the fiscus just does not have enough, like I've mentioned. City Power, we just have R1 billion that we can spend per annum on our infrastructure. So how do you get different stakeholders? We are engaging our shareholder, which is the city of Johannesburg, and I do think that at some stage we will be announcing as to which other stakeholders are we bringing on board in terms of ensuring we've got proper asset creation going. And National Treasuries also has been coming to the party. There are some reforms that are being done, because the rigidity of the public sector as well is not assisted, because you would have seen that triple P's will take you, from basically a year to the return of Christ, for you to be able to get finality. So National Treasury is coming with those reforms as to how do we quickly deploy capital and other, infrastructure on the ground quicker, because ultimately the neglect in our infrastructure is not just affecting the electricity network, because if you'd have seen, you'll find that there'll be water outages, whenever there is an outage from an electricity perspective, because pumps at Rainwater are not working. There's an issue at the Joburg Water, then it's now there's a trickle-down effect. So we do need to arrest this situation of infrastructure, deficit and backlog. It's of critical importance. And lastly, is that, and some of these things, we may not see them, on a day-to-day basis, but once they hit us, they've got a catastrophic impact. Case in point, how load shedding is now hitting us today is because there was a neglect in 1998 in terms of building new infrastructure. That started late, and by the time it started, there were also delays because of whether there was corruption and all sorts of things that happened at Eskom, and there was a societal impact that was felt, over a decade or 15 years later, whereby economic growth was, severely, depleted, jobs were lost, and we're still reeling, from an impact on something that should have been done in 98. Some of the decisions are not popular.
Yeah, of course.
They are not necessarily the best decisions to take. I'm at pains myself to explain this, to colleagues, friends, you name it.
You can't be coming to Mikiti here and not tell us. When we are trying to dance, we want to know, why are we paying more?
I'm now referred to as the person of the 200, and I am just a mere board chairperson. I do not work at City Power.
Look,
I'm a non-executive director. But look, we do need to make tough decisions, but we do need to not be tone deaf, to what people are genuinely raising as concerns.
Look, I don't envy you. It must be a tough job. It must be a tough week as well for you. So strength to you. Bonolo Ramokhele is a City Power board chair. Thanks so much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.